Good morning. I hope you're feeling blessed today. I love coming to Ankeny. We're going to do something a little bit new. I got a new iPad, so we're going to play with it this morning. Before we start playing with that, though, I want to let you know some things that are going on in our network. As you know, Ankeny is a part of a network called the SALT Network, and we're trying to aggressively plant churches at every major university in the Midwest and throughout our nation and to the ends of the earth. We even have a church plant in Wuhan, China, where there are 3 million university students that live in that one city in China. The best news that I can tell you is that our target for Next, when we started giving money to Next, was Minneapolis, Minnesota. As you guys know, it's a key city in the Midwest, and there's a university there called University of Minnesota with 50,000 students there. We have about 300 alumni that live in the Twin Cities, and so we thought we should plant a church there, but we didn't have a lead pastor. And so a couple of weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago now, Drew Stevenson, the teaching pastor at Veritas Church in Iowa City, really felt like God was leading him to be the lead pastor of that church. And so the elders laid hands on him and affirmed him doing that. And this last Thursday night, he came up to Ames and he spoke at Salt Company on Thursday night. And we also introduced not only that Drew was going to be the lead pastor, but our associate director of Salt Company in Ames, Jordan Adams, is going to be the Salt Company director there. And so about 200 students that night said, hey, we're interested in going to Minneapolis to be a part of that church plant as well. So fall 2017, we're going to have a new church in the Twin Cities, and they're considering calling it Salt City Church. I think that's a pretty cool name. So God is blessing. And in 2018, we're going to plant University of Wisconsin in Madison. And then we have another lead pastor who's training, and we're trying to figure out the place that he's going to go 2018 as well. So when I talked to your lead pastor here, Brent, I said, hey, dude, did you see what they're wanting me to teach on? Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he said, oh, yeah, and half of Exodus. So this morning, we're going to be going through half of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then I looked at the AIM schedule, and I saw on the AIM schedule that actually Mark Vance was teaching there. And I told Brent, I said, Brent, it's Mark Vance going to be teaching in the AIM schedule. Is this not working? Here, look at this, technical guy. I can just talk while you're doing that. Should be working. It was working earlier. So he'll get that figured out. So is it working now?
Yep.
Okay, you're a beautiful man. So I said to Brent, I said, just pipe the video down. It's Mark Vance. I'll give a network update. We'll all watch Mark and be very happy. And he said, buck up, cowboy. Teach the Bible. So here we go. So all of our half of Exodus, all of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, in just a handful of words. Here we go, if it's going to work. We're going to start with Exodus 20. Anybody know what's in Exodus 20? I can tell you there's a conference that you love there, the Big Ten. Moses goes up to Sinai and he gets from God the Big Ten. It's the commandments. And I love to teach my kids the commandments like this. And I say, hold out your hands like this. And because we know that God has given us the commandments, four of them relate to him. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't make any idols. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. All those four commandments were really, really critical in our relationship with God. And then there's kind of this bridge command, I call it. There's a unique command in the Ten Commandments. It relates only to two people, your parents. It says, children, Obey your parent. Honor your father and mother. Now, is that to parents or kids? And I think it's so critical because it is the commandment of authority. And then we have five commandments that deal with our relationship to others. And I think they're kind of in descending order. Don't murder people. Don't be unfaithful to your spouse by committing adultery. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't covet. And we know that Moses came down with all of those Ten Commandments to a mess. You saw on the video, he's about to take those beautiful stone tablets that God carved with his hand. You've seen the movie, right? And crash them down. But whenever you're teaching through the whole Bible and you want to get a kind of an overview, you got to go to the New Testament. And every time we're going to go to the New Testament, and what do you see in the New Testament? I'm going to call it the Big Two. What did Jesus say? It can be boiled down to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the other one? Love your neighbor as yourself. But then Jesus said this, a new commandment I give you. A one that you've had from the beginning. This is a new one. Love even as I have loved you. I think it's great for us to know the Ten Commandments. I think it's great for us to teach our kids the Ten Commandments. Because you know, Jesus reduced it to a new commandment, love one another, even as I have loved you. Then we get to Exodus chapter 25. And by the way, if you're going to read all this, it'd take you about 8 to 10 hours. That's what Brent told me. I didn't read it. I have. I've listened to it in my truck too. You know, the way it is with Bible reading plans, you get Genesis and then you get to Exodus and you think the Bible is cool. And then you hit the brakes when you get to Leviticus, and we'll get to that in a minute. So Exodus 25, you have this tabernacle. And it's the idea that God now has given his people the commandments, and now they're going to be journeying around and he's going to design a dwelling place for himself. And you're going to see this tabernacle is super ornate and very specific in the way that it's designed. And it's going to be the centerpiece of God's people. And they're going to always have the dwelling of God in the midst of his people. And in the midst of the tabernacle is going to be this place called the Holy of Holies. And if you read about the tabernacle, you'll know that not very many people went in there, and the people who did go in there went in there with fear because God was an awesome and holy God. And he said, this place is going to represent my presence, and my presence is going to represent dwelling with my people. And so all of the tribes and all of the nations and all of the people, as we tabernacle and have a tent, God's tent is going to be the center of God's people, and everybody else is going to be gathered around. And you read about that beginning Exodus 25. But what is the big picture of that? If you run over to the New Testament, you're going to see in John 1, John writes in his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what the word there is in John 1 for Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us? It's this word, tabernacle. The idea of God being with us and the center of our lives. And just like the tabernacle that Moses wrote about and designed and that they built that would be in the middle of God's people, what Jesus is saying, John writes, I will be with you. And he goes on and says, I will be in you. There's an interesting thing about the tabernacle and later the temple
that was built, there was an inner part of the whole thing. It was called the Holy of Holies. Are you following? You know what I'm talking about? And one time a year, the high priest would go into that inner place, the Holy of Holies, and he would make sacrifices for God's people. And you know, when Jesus died on the cross, that veil of the temple we're going to talk about a little bit more was torn in two from top to bottom. And what was it saying? That God's dwelling now is in us, in all of us, through Jesus. So as I said, when you get to this end of Exodus in your Bible reading, you're thinking, man, the Bible is cool. And then you get to Leviticus. Leviticus. Is that going up there? And here's your word. Leviticus actually gets its name from Levitical priest who had to follow through with all of the law. They were the preachers, pastors, teachers, slaughterers. Did you hear that word? Slaughterers. Because what was the primary thing that they had to do? Kill stuff. Make sacrifice. And it wasn't just anything that they had to kill, because we learned that God wanted, number one, your first, the firstborn. And we saw that in the Passover. And last week when Brent was talking about the Passover, it says the firstborn would die and you would take your best lamb, a three-year-old lamb, and you would slaughter that lamb, and then you put its blood on your doorpost. And then the angel of death would pass over you. You remember that? It's crazy stuff to think about. And God wanted not only your first, but he wanted your best. And you're going to see later in the scriptures that these Levitical priests started getting gifts and offerings that weren't the best stuff. And Malachi says, hey, God doesn't want your junk. You know how it is when you want to give stuff away? What do you want to give? You want to give used stuff away. You want to give stuff away that you don't want anymore. But what did God want from us? He wanted our first, and he wanted our best. And God's people had to make sacrifices for their sin because of atonement. They knew that they were dwelling amidst a holy God, and God was in the temple and this tabernacle. Whenever they would go around, there would be a cloud in the day that would be over it and a fire at night. And it was the Levitical priests that would go in that place, and they would take these animals and they would slaughter those animals. Why? Because God's people knew that they couldn't live and dwell with a holy God, and their sin needed payment. And so in Leviticus, you see the payment for sin? Kill your animals. Spill their blood on the altar. And then take all of the animals and burn it. And those ashes would be there. Now, I'm just going to vote right now. That's weird. It's a little bit crazy. Isn't it? Can you imagine? Oh, I stole something. I better get some birds. Some good ones. Take them to the priest. Say, dude, man, I stole some stuff. Kill my birds. Read it. Oh, I lied. I better get some stuff. Take it to the priest. Here's my stuff. Then you get to the New Testament. Let's just look at John there again. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, do you remember what he said? the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Paul wrote, Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, and oh, take some time to read Hebrews chapter 10 today. He said, if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers appeased God's wrath for God's people back in Leviticus, how much more so the perfect Lamb of God who died for us? God is a holy God. Our sin separates us from him, and God's people knew it. And every time there was sin, blood had to be spilt and something had to die. Otherwise, there was distance between God and his people. But when God sent his son, Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, slaughtered for our sins. Done. Then we get to Numbers. And you know why they call it Numbers? Because they were counting stuff. Read it. I mean, you get into Leviticus and you're going, this is Bible? And then you survive Leviticus, and you get to Numbers. And if you get through Numbers, wow, you have done good. Most of us are done with our Bible reading plan at that point. But it actually gets better after that, right? Doesn't it, Pastor Brent? So, but Numbers, I'm going to give you a word here. Here's the word. Journey or wanderings. And we'll just jump over to the New Testament. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and what it'll tell you is all of these things that were happening in the Old Testament and all of these wanderings that were happening in the Old Testament, they were happening as examples for us to follow. For example, Moses comes down off of Mount Sinai and he has the Big Ten that Jesus is later going to reduce to the big two, and basically it's going to be one, right? And what's happening? Well, Aaron has the people, and he hears a party, and what have they made? A golden calf, an idol. And Aaron said, it just jumped out of the fire. All the people put all their stuff in there, and this calf just jumps out. And Moses said, well, I'll tell you what's going to jump out. God is going to jump out. And he separated the people, right? And the ground opens up. And basically, what Corinthians is saying about that, hey, don't be idolaters. God doesn't like that. He went on and he talks about God's people that were being immoral and they were intermarrying with people that they liked and they were committing adultery. And then God wipes some more of them out. And he says, hey, don't be immoral. God doesn't like that. And then they started grumbling. It's hot. It's always summer here. We don't get fall weather. And we're hungry and we're thirsty. And they say, well, okay, how about this? Manna every day, quail for meat, water out of a rock. And here's what they said. Wah, wah, wah. And he says, stop being ungrateful. Stop grumbling to God. Here's what will happen. He'll send snakes. This is crazy stuff in Numbers. They were grumbling, and so God sent poisonous snakes, and everyone who got bit by a snake died. Unless. I'm going to write another little thing. John 3, maybe a verse I think it's 14. So in their wanderings, they get bit by these snakes. And how do you not die? It's all in Numbers. I know you guys have read it. You look to the bronze snake. And even if you can't see it, you just have to look in that direction and embrace it by faith that has been raised on a pole. And even today, the symbol of medicine is a pole with a snake on it. Have you seen it? Where does it come from? Numbers. And John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And before that it says, just like Moses raised the snake on a stick and everybody who looked at him and believed was healed. Imagine that, snake just bit me. Don't look, die. It's in Numbers, you can read it. And what is it? Pointing to the example, Jesus. And then we're gonna get to Deuteronomy. I can't spell it out because I'd misspell it. And here's your word. Preaching. We have something, D6. You guys know what D6 is? As kids ministry, why do we call it D6? Right, Aaron? I know a lot of our churches are dropping that. They think, nobody knows what that is. D6 kids, what does that mean? What does it mean? D for what? And 6 for what? Is that the perfect number of kids you should have? No, it's 7. That's how many I have. So, and but I'm going to have a lot of grandkids. So this November, I'm going to have my 5th, 6th, and 7th grandkid. So that's pretty cool. I didn't look that old. So I don't feel that old. Oh, D6. That's Shema. All of Israel knew this part of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And these commandments that I'm giving you today shall be on your heart. Oh, and you should impress them on your children. Don't just let it stop with you. Impress them on your children. And here's how you do it. When you're walking with them in the way, talk about these things. When you're in your house, talk about these things. When you're sitting down in your house, talk about these things. When you go to bed at night, talk about these things. When you get up in the morning, talk about these things. And these things shall be on your hearts and on your minds. And then he made like memory packs, phylacteries that they would carry around on their heads. I mean, these guys just must look silly walking around, Brent, with boxes on their heads. Well, this is, God said, have these verses on my mind, you know? And they would put them on the doorposts of their house because of the blood in the Passover. And when they would walk in, they would touch those, the Shema, hear, O Israel. And Moses was a great pastor. And all throughout Deuteronomy, you hear him preaching and standing in front of God's people and declaring the goodness of God. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says that there was never been a better pastor who ever lived than Moses. But, and I actually edited that a little bit. It says there's never been a more humble man who ever lived than Moses. And that's what God values in leadership. It's humble service. And multiple times, Moses, in his fellowship with God, here's what God would say, I'm going to kill them all. He said, I only killed 21,000 men, but I think I got to get them all. We got to set reboot. I did it once with Noah. And we can do it in different ways. I promise never to flood the place again, but I could get them all. I could have the earth open up and swallow them. I could send some more fire. And what did Moses do every time? God, please, no. And he positioned himself between God's people and God's wrath and cried out for God's mercy. And God's people were saved. And even Moses got frustrated. He was so frustrated with the people wanting water that he took his staff. You know the story? And they were whining and complaining, and they were idolaters, and they were immoral, and they were grumbling, and they were ungrateful, and they'd seen all the miracles that God had did. And still, the pattern of their life was failure. And Moses, the most humble man that ever lived, got frustrated, and he was supposed to touch the rock with his staff. The rock! And he thought, well, it needs more than a touch, because this is what I want to do to the people. And he went, pow! And he hit the rock. Have you read it? It's in the book here. And when he hit the rock, water gushed out of this rock. And here's what God said to Moses. Hey, shouldn't have done that. Because now, you know that promised land that we've been talking about and journeying to and trying to get to? You're not going in. And you get to the message in Deuteronomy 31. And here's what Moses says in his preaching. I'm not going in. I'm going to die. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to blow it. You always have. You guys. Who's going to stand between you and God? All of you. You can't go 2 months without complaining, doing something foolish. And you guys too. It's only a matter of time. He says, walk with God. He said, we will. And he said, you won't. You never have. And you never will.
And Moses died. And here's what I think happened. You know, he died. He stands in the presence of God again. I mean, he was in the presence of God so much of his life that at one point in his life, his face lit up. Seriously, his face lit up. He had to cover his face to keep from blinding people because he was in the presence of God. I mean, this guy. And now he's in the presence of God, standing before God, and God says, Moses, good sermon. That was a good one. You were right. All those people, they can't keep the law. They're broken. You give them something and they'll complain for something else. They can desire me for a period of time, but then it only takes a little bit for them to get away. You were right, Moses.
But let me tell you something. I got a plan. I'm going to do for my people what they can't do for themselves. You're a great pastor and you are a great leader and you are a shepherd, but I'm going to send a good shepherd who is going to reconcile all people who believe in him to me. I'm going to send the perfect one, the righteous one. And that in his righteousness for everyone who believes, I will no longer see their sin. I will no longer need their sacrifice because his perfect sacrifice will atone for the sins of the world. And when I see people, I will no longer see what they did or what they have done or what they will do. I will see them clothed in robes of righteousness that I provided for them through Jesus. And I can imagine Moses saying, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's what was in my heart. I just wanted them to believe in you, to know you, and have fellowship with you, and a relationship with you that would eclipse everything else in their life. And God said, it's going to happen, Moses. It's going to happen. One of my favorite stories to tell in the network is the crazy things that God has done in Iowa. And people from around the nation can't believe what God is doing in Iowa. And I tell them, well, it's kind of like Philip and Nathaniel. You know the story when Jesus was recruiting them? They went to recruit each other, and I think it was Nathaniel said to Philip, or Philip said to Nathaniel. Yeah, it was Nathaniel said to Philip, I think. He said, hey, we found the one that Moses and all of the prophets have written about. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And Philip said, what? Can anything good come from Nazareth? And Nathanael said, come and see. Come and see. We know that Jesus is the King of the universe. And all of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it's not about Moses. He lived, he died. It's not about God's people. They messed up. That's why I love this series. It's called The Story of God. It's the story of Jesus. And we can see it all the way back. But it's a huge arrow pointing all the way forward. And it's a blessing to all who believe. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories, for the teaching, for the law, for the prophets, for men like Moses . Would you enable us, God, to see and embrace your heart. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to make sacrifices anymore because you are the perfect sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to know all the ins and out of all the laws. There was way more than 10. There were hundreds and hundreds of them. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear your voice and the preaching of your word, that we can respond in faith. Let us all step into that place and trust you and follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.